Okay, great. So actually, I'll take this moment then to acknowledge my collaborators, Jill Swirtle, also from the Rutgers School of Public Health. I'm Charles Denk from the New Jersey State Health Department, and Laura Navin and Anna Bress Brown from March of Dimes. So I'm going to finish describing healthy babies are worth the wait in a minute, and then I'll explain why surveillance data is a great use for this purpose. And then I'll discuss some methodological issues that came up when planning and in the progress of the evaluation. And then I'll talk a little bit the two data sources I'm using, which are birth data and PRAMS data. I'll show you some results and discuss conclusions. So Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait was implemented in Newark starting in 2012, and it's a three-year program, so it's finishing right now. And the goal of the program is to reduce preterm births among African American women by 8%. And the program is a partnership between the March of Dimes local chapter and the city and state health departments, the two hospitals in Newark where pretty much everyone gives birth in Newark and some surrounding communities, and three FQHCs who provide a lot of prenatal care to women in Newark, and finally various community groups. So a brief schematic of the interventions. You can see that it could be considered a multi-level intervention because interventions took place with patients at the institutional level, with providers, and at the community level, and also at a macro level with policy advocacy. So all of these bundle of interventions was implemented in Newark over the three-year period with the goal to reduce preterm birth. So the challenge of evaluating a big multi-level bundled intervention is that you're evaluating a bunch of things at once. So where it's very tempting to try to evaluate each component of it to sort of see what works, really what we want to know is the overall question is how effective is this type of program, which is bundling interventions and bringing together people, how effective is this in reducing preterm birth? Not how effective maybe is each component, which is tempting to try to look at in more detail. And in particular, the program is geared at a geographic area, and that is Newark. And so the fact that we collect surveillance data based on geography, and the fact that we have this goal where we don't actually want to necessarily just hand out surveys to the people participating in the intervention, we want to know what is happening at the geographic level of Newark, this makes surveillance data ideal. So I'm going to talk just about the measures that, a few measures today that I addressed using birth data and PRAMS data. And the primary outcome, of course, is preterm birth in African American women. And you'll see in a minute why actually specifying that outcome even in more detail is important, as well as a few intermediate outcomes of increased utilization of prenatal care, improved quality of care, and improved health behaviors. So we obtained New Jersey birth certificate data for 2019 to 2014. In 2009 through 2011 are considered the pre-intervention period, and 2012 through 14 the intervention period. And I'll show you some ongoing trend analysis we did of preterm birth, both at the onset of the project and then on an ongoing basis, and a bit of a before and after analysis that's in progress. And then I'll show you what we were doing with the PRAMS data. We're looking at it to look at some intermediate outcomes that we don't find in birth data. And then we're going to do a little twist on it. In addition to just looking at it alone, we're going to make comparisons to some primary collected data that we were able to do as part of the evaluation. So some methodological issues that came up when we were planning these analyses is, first, what are actually the boundaries of the catchment area of the intervention? Now, we have the study or the project branded Newark, and we say that all the time, but when you actually speak with the community board and you speak to the providers, really who they care for is not just residents of Newark, but really what the sort of more, the map boundaries of Newark might be, have a certain line, but the actual community boundaries in which women live and operate and see their health care providers are kind of a more fluid line, which include the, some surrounding communities. And so, you know, that we're looking at the pros and cons of looking at considering just Newark City boundaries alone or Newark metro area and considering what we really expected to see in terms of change. So the advantage to looking at just Newark City boundaries was the fact that we're kind of honing in on perhaps the most exposed and perhaps the greatest need. Whereas some of the advantages to including Greater Newark, which would include communities of Orange, East Orange, and Irvington, was that we heard from our community advisory board that patients actually moved in through these communities quite fluidly. So we thought that there might be some, and in fact, in the period of the intervention, it was thought that there were quite a few women moving from Newark City boundaries to some of these communities. So we were concerned also about selection bias, so in looking like outcomes in Newark improved when in reality women might have been moving to the outlying areas. And the women in the surrounding areas actually give birth in Newark mostly, and the hospitals were the sites of some of the interventions. So we really felt that we needed to include these areas as well. So the conclusion was that although the project's been branded Newark, 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 really it's sort of the greater Newark area is actually what we're doing, so that's actually what we should measure. The next methodological issue that came up was, is a fun one, and that is what is the most appropriate comparison group. So in an ideal world, we would have lots and lots of money, and we could do some sort of randomized thing where we randomize cities in the U.S. to receive this intervention or not. But, of course, that's not practical. So the next best thing would be to have a comparison city in New Jersey. And so that's actually the second point I mentioned here. And so we again worked with our community advisory board to consider what might be an appropriate comparison city in New Jersey. And Camden was proposed as one possibility. So we did some initial look at the data, and it just so happened that the preterm birth statistics for Camden, for some reason which we actually have not been able to figure out, in the years before the intervention looked wild. They were jumping around wildly. So clearly they wouldn't be a stable comparison group. There's some issue going on with that we never quite identified why the data would be jumping so wildly. Probably not actually the women's health, probably more an artifact of something to do with the way the data were collected or hospitals reported. So that made that difficult. So then the other possibility that one could do would be to say, since that goal is to reduce disparities as an overall goal behind the project, to then look at, okay, well, are we gaining ground in decreasing the disparity between African-American women and one of the other groups in Newark? Well, this proposed a problem for a few reasons. For one, some of the groups, so for example, whites, which sometimes are used as a baseline in different national reports or even local reports and comparisons, had quite small numbers. So also when we examined trends and data, these numbers also jumped around quite a bit, so wouldn't make for a stable comparison group. Latinos could also be a comparison group, but really, again, we want to measure what it is we're actually doing, and although the program is geared towards African-American women with materials being, for example, produced with African-American images and in mind, the reality is that a lot of the interventions, such as patient navigators that were implemented in the hospitals, were not restricted to African-American women. So certainly if you're a Latina high-risk woman, you would also participate in the patient navigator program. So they're not really an unexposed group. So that wouldn't work either. So the conclusion we came to was to use all other African-American women outside of the greater Newark area in New Jersey as the best comparison group for birth data analyses. A third methodological issue that arose was, and to be honest, we didn't think about this up front necessarily, and really the implications until getting more deep into the analyses. And that's, are we interested in singleton or multiple deliveries when we're calculating preterm birth rates from the birth data? And so an advantage to including multiples is, for one, is the program is sponsored by March of Dimes, and March of Dimes does always include multiples in their statistics of preterm birth that you would find in any of their report cards or any of their online materials. So it creates a little bit of confusion to not include multiples in their program. And, of course, multiples are at high risk of preterm birth, and African-American women have a high rate of multiple pregnancies. However, when we actually spoke with the clinicians for the involved in the interventions, for example, two interventions included centering pregnancy, which is group prenatal care intervention, and patient navigators, it wasn't really thought that these interventions are really targeted towards multiple deliveries, or they wouldn't really be expected to affect an outcome of preterm birth less than 37 weeks or more. So as one clinician said, you know, by having the patient navigator, I might get the patient to hang on to those twins another week or two, so we might have, you know, a 34-week delivery instead of a 32-week delivery, which is still fantastic, but it's not going to necessarily show up in this sort of overall goal that was derived of 8% reduction in preterm birth less than 37 weeks. So to use statistics in our evaluation that includes multiples is sort of watering down what it is the intervention really was capable of doing. So the conclusion was to use data for singleton pregnancies only, and we may do some sub-analyses of multiple pregnancies, you know, using a continuous measure of gestational age to just sort of see if the intervention was able to at least nudge the gestational age if it didn't actually reach the dichotomous cut point. So the overall research question for the birth data analysis was first, is the preterm birth rate among African-American women in this greater Newark area after healthy babies are worth their weight lower than beforehand? And how did this differ compare to African-American women in the rest of New Jersey? And so what we're going to show you is preterm birth risk in these groups, as well as risk differences comparing the before healthy babies are worth the wait and then after it was implemented. And then we'll do a difference of differences analysis to see if these risk differences were greater in the intervention area than in the control area, which again is African-American women in the rest of New Jersey. And we used Poisson regression models, adjusting for some demographic characteristics that could also influence the trends and rates, maternal age, education, parity, and foreign-born status. So here we see in green the preterm birth rate in Newark, and in orange the preterm birth rate among African-American women in the rest of New Jersey. I mean, you can see that there was a decline both prior to and during the implementation of the intervention, which was implemented in 2012. And there was a decline in both Newark and the rest of New Jersey. And in the analysis of risk differences, we can see that the rate for 2009 through 2011 in the Newark area was reduced by 1.5 percentage points, which was significant. In the rest of New Jersey, again, this is among African-American women, the preterm birth rate was reduced by 0.7%, which also was a significant change. So this implies that preterm birth is declining among African-American women in all of New Jersey, which is great news, but a little bit quicker, with a little bit greater percentage in Newark. When we look at this, the whether or not this change is statistically significant, we can see that in Newark it was 8 percentage points faster, although it didn't quite reach statistical significance. Now, of course, we still have one more year of data to get, 2014 data, to do final analyses. So PRAMS data we were interested in using to compare intermediate outcomes with a survey that we administered to patients in hospitals postnatally. So what we did was we included some questions from PRAMS that we thought were relevant, word for word, in our patient survey, which we also asked a bunch of other things we're interested in. But we modeled some questions after PRAMS so we'd be able to use them as a comparison group. And this is because the survey was taking place in only Newark. So in other words, we didn't have a comparison city where we were also able to administer, just because of resources, to administer the same patient survey in another city that had never heard of Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait. So we used PRAMS data to sort of provide a control group. And so what we did was we obtained PRAMS data from the pre-intervention period and calculated some percentages for outcomes. And then in the patient data, we actually created groups of levels of how exposed they were to Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait intervention. And the data I'm about to show you here just looks at raw percentages, so it's preliminary. But after we get more data, we will include multivariable models. And this is actually important because I will mention that there are some differences in how PRAMS is administered and how our patient survey was administered. So PRAMS is administered a few months after birth by mail, or if they don't answer by mail, sometimes by telephone, whereas we had an in-person patient survey postnatally. So that could imply some differences in the type of women we got. So hopefully when we get some multivariable data with more patient characteristics, we can adjust for some of those differences. So for example, there's a question on PRAMS, did you get prenatal care as early as you wanted? So this shows that in the greater Newark area, so we selected the PRAMS data just for the intervention area, in 2009-2011, 73% were able to, and these are our different exposure groups in the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait survey. So we have all respondents, then we have respondents who'd heard of Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait, or respondents who had actively participated in intervention. And so I won't necessarily read you each of these questions, but most of them indicate the sort of, and once again, I don't have any statistical tests on these yet. So some, for example, gained prenatal care as early as you wanted. There doesn't seem to be an improvement in the intervention area. However, when we looked at the specific reason couldn't get an appointment, and narrowed it down to just the hospital that had one of the interventions was to change their method of having, you know, enabling women to get appointments. Sort of a sounds simple, but it wasn't so simple. That you can actually see a big reduction in being able to get an appointment, or fewer women reported that as the reason they couldn't get prenatal care. Another example is healthcare professionals spoke with you about smoking, the third row. And you can see the participants in Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait interventions were more likely to report that the healthcare professional spoke with them about smoking, didn't smoke with them. That would be an interesting finding. So some limitations in these analyses. There's many, but just to name a few. These adjustments for maternal characteristics that we have in surveillance data might not fully account for any demographic changes that are happening over the time period, or for other reasons for the declining trends in preterm birth. And as I mentioned, there might be different participation biases with the PRAMS data compared to when you kind of use them and mirror them in your own data. It's a neat idea, but there are some issues with having differences in how the data are collected. And finally, because we have that nice downward trend, even before the intervention period, there might be some other MCH programs accounting for the improvement in Newark relative to the rest of the state, which is still good news, but that doesn't necessarily support as much the efficacy of healthy babies are worth the wait in particular. So in conclusion, though, our preliminary analyses are consistent with the reduction of preterm birth in Greater Newark during the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait intervention. And we still kind of wait to see if the intermediate outcomes. We haven't finished those analyses yet. And in conclusion, surveillance data can be used alone or in combination with primary collected data to evaluate place-based interventions. Thank you.
I think we're going to hold questions until the end to give our last presenter time to go. But I think one thing you hear in Teresa's presentation is the difficulty of choosing comparison groups. So I appreciate the detail and the anguish that you described to us, because we often go through this.